2 Kings 5 now, verse number 20. And then I'll let you be seated, give you a little background, get into where I want to get to preaching this morning. 2 Kings chapter number 5, verse 20. There's an unusual Bible character that comes on the pages of our Bible. I've never heard much preaching about him. As I began to dig in this and God dealt with my heart about it, I've formed a message out of Gehazi. Gehazi was the servant of Elisha. He says, but Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master has spared Naaman the Syrian, and not receiving at his hands that which he brought, but as the Lord liveth, I'll run after him and take somewhat of him. So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? Is all well? That's a good question, is it not? And he said, all is well. My master has sent me, saying, behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men, the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garments. And Naaman said, be content, take two talents. And he urged him about two talents of silver and two bags with two changes of garments, and laid them upon two of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, or the high place, he took them from their hand, and bestowed them in the house, and he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went no whither. And he said unto him, went not mine heart with thee, when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and to thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper, white as snow. You may be seated this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time together today. Now I pray you let preaching be easy a few moments. Thank you for the people of God today that have gathered. I pray now that you'd help me to share the Word of God, that which you've written to the hearts of the people. And I ask you, Lord, that I need help from the Spirit of God. God, to lead and guide me and help me in these last days of preaching of that how to exalt and magnify the precious Son of God. Help us this morning. Thank you for how good you've been to us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. A little background to 2 Kings 5. First of all, everybody remembers Elijah, the great prophet that called fire down from heaven. God used Elijah in such a great way. And then Elijah is fixing to go off the scene, and he had a young preacher named Elisha. He was by Elijah, and Elijah's fixing to leave off the scene. And this is what he said. He said, is there anything I can do for you, Elisha, before I leave? Elisha said these words, yes, I'd like a double portion of what you got. I wonder, as you're leaving out, would anybody want a double portion of what you have in pertaining to the things of the family of God? Elisha didn't have his heart set on houses. Elisha didn't have his heart set on wealth, but he had his heart set on God. He had seen his Elijah do great things with God. I'm glad this morning I've seen some men of God in my life that have accomplished great things for the honor and the glory of God. So Elijah, before he leaves, he tells Elisha, he said, okay, since you want a double portion, and you really want double what I've got, if you'll see me when God takes me, you can have it. God took up Elijah into heaven, and the Bible said Elijah's mantle fell. And Elisha reached and he picked up the mantle. It reminds me today that in order to have things that are spiritual, it don't necessarily fall on you, but you've got to want to pick those things up. Is there anybody here this morning that is wanting to pick some things up for the honor and the glory of God and go on for a generation where Jesus is soon to come? So there's Elijah, and then his young prophet Elisha comes on the scene. And then in chapter 5 of 2 Kings, you'll notice this, that Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, he is a great man with his master. He was honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance in Assyria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. She said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with a prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." So this little maid had been held captive, and there she was in Naaman's home. Naaman was a great army general. He had a lot of things, and Naaman had won many victories, many battles. But there was a problem. Naaman was a leper. Let me tell you, you may have escalated in the things of life, and you may have plaques and trophies on your wall, but if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, you really don't have anything to be shouting about. And so Naaman, he won many battles, but he was a leper, and it was a little girl in his house that was sweeping the floor. And she said, "You know, I know a man back home. His name is Elisha. That if you could get back to where he is, he could tell you how to get well." So Naaman comes all the way back to the nation of Israel, and he finds Elisha, the man of God. There's Elisha and Gehazi, Elisha's servant, that I want to preach on today. So you know the story. Elisha told Naaman, he said, "I realize you're a leper. You need to dip in Jordan 7 times." Naaman had a problem with that. It reminds me of the people in America today. They want to do things their way. He said, "Is not the rivers where I live better than the river where you live? Why have I got to go do it that way?" Can I tell you, God still got one formula this morning. And it's by bloody Jordan, it's by Calvary, where God sent His Son to die for the sins of this world. And He said, "You must be born again." So Naaman listened to the preaching of the man of God, Elisha. He went down into Jordan and he dipped himself 7 times. And the Bible said on the 7th time, when he came up, his flesh was clean or was like a little child. We all need to have childlike faith. Could you imagine Naaman? He's went in Jordan. He has minded the Scriptures. He's dipped himself 7 times. Verse 14, and he came up clean. Verse 15. So he returned to the man of God, or he went back to Elisha. He and all of his company, he had servants. He had a lot of people with him. And he came and he stood before him. Now watch your Bible. And he said, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. I'm glad I know this morning that my Redeemer lived." Do you know that God lives this morning? He says, "Now therefore, here it is. I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." Naaman is asking Elisha, "Take this blessing from me." I've noticed when people get saved, they want to give their stuff away. Amen. Shake your little Baptist head up and down this morning. But he said, verse 16, "As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none." You know what he told Naaman? He said, "God can't be bought. And I can't be bought either." And he said, "I'm not in it for the money, I'm in it for the ministry." And Elisha did not want Naaman leaving out, thinking that Elisha was for hire. But there's something in the recesses of this scripture that I want you to notice. Verse 17, and Naaman said, "Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant two mules of burden of earth?" He said, "I want to give you two mules. For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto the gods but unto the Lord. And this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goes to the house to worship," said, "I want to give you something." And now it picks up in verse 20. But Gehazi, he's standing in the background. And now notice now, Gehazi is the servant of Elisha. He's seen Elisha do great things. Matter of fact, he was a young mentor. Elisha was grooming him to be something. He followed him around. And so back in this assembly, you'll notice that Gehazi said this. He said, "The servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, 'Behold, my master has spared Naaman the Syrian in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I'll run after him and take somewhat of him.'" So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, "Is all well?" Now, I feel like I'll give you enough background to get where I want to get to preaching this morning. Watch these few things and I'll be done. Gehazi, the unfaithful servant. Notice, first of all, you'll notice there's the glimpse of Gehazi. Gehazi comes on the scene of the Bible. As I said earlier, Elisha was Gehazi's mentor. Elisha was putting things in Gehazi that this world knows nothing about. Aren't you glad you've had some people that helped you down the trail of life about the things of God this morning? I think about this young man that played the piano today. People have invested in his life. Mom and daddies, this is a day and an hour when the investments that we put in those around us need to come to fruition. Can I tell you that people's put in us, they put in us for a reason. And that's to carry on and continue for the cause of Christ. When we that are older go on to be with the Lord, I hope it's been enough put in this young generation to keep this church going. You say, "Well, Brother Ken, why, if you wasn't here, why, this church would fall." No, no, honey. God is here before I ever got here. And as God called off Elijah, he had an Elisha to take over. So let me tell you something. Men don't outlive God. God outlives men. And so that people have invested in you is for a reason. And I want you to think about the investments that Gehazi had that Elisha had put in him. Has anybody invested anything in you? Young people, your mom and daddy have put great investments in you to teach you from wrong and to do right. They put so many hours in your life to teach you to become somebody. And so here we see this thing of Gehazi. We see the glimpse of him. He's a valuable servant. Look in 2 Kings 4 and 12. We find him before he gets here. The first mention of him. Now here he's with Elisha. In 2 Kings 4 and 12, he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Call this Shunammite." And when he had called her, she stood before him. Now, you know that story there? Her child had died. And Elisha's fixing to restore her boy back to life. And there in the shadows, we see this character, Gehazi. He's there. He's a valuable servant. I will tell you, your preacher needs somebody to be with him today to be a valuable servant. Can I tell you, people that are with the man of God are so valuable. I preach for so many men that need somebody to stand with them. There's a lot of people that's for them, but there's not many people with them. I want to say this morning, there's probably a lot of people for me,
But I don't need you to only be for me. I need you to be with me. Yeah, man. And so here, Gehazi was a valuable servant. Secondly, in this glimpse of Gehazi, not only was he a valuable servant, in 2 Kings 5 and 20, he was versed in the Scriptures. Versed in the Scriptures. The Bible says in 2 Kings 5 and 20, But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, Behold, my master has spared Naaman the Syrian, and not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. You see, Gehazi knew the Scriptures. He had heard Elisha speak the Word of God. And can I tell you, the Word of God is still right in this day and this hour. When this world is a-crumbling, you better know what the Word of God says to you this morning. So this glimpse of Gehazi, he was a valuable servant. He was versed in Scriptures. And then he was very vital in service. No doubt, Gehazi was being mentored to carry things on when Elisha left. You know, I think a lot if God was to call me home this evening, Brother Mike was called out in the morning, who here could carry on in the service of the Lord? As I said earlier, when one man stops, God always has somebody to carry on the work of God. And men, you might not be called to preach the gospel, but you can be good church people. You can be good laymen. You can be consistent in what you do at the house of God. Somebody's got to keep this place together. It's not a one-man show. And so Elisha was training Gehazi. Gehazi was valuable in his service. He was very vital in his service. But now, look at this, not only the glimpse of Gehazi, let's look at the gaze of Gehazi. 2 Kings 5 and 15. Now, he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, Behold, now I know that there's no God in the earth. Now, Naaman just got saved, and he said that. And Gehazi is looking around, and he starts to gaze. And something happened in Gehazi's life that the Lord Jesus has instructed us and warned us about. It's about covetousness. You see, this thing of covetousness, we all are liable to have it. Matter of fact, covetousness is the excessive desire for what one does not have, especially what belongs to somebody else. And so, by the way, Gehazi's name means valley of vision. But I like what one of the writers said, but his vision was in a low place. Don't put your eyes on this old world. Look at it above where Jesus is. And so today, this gaze of Gehazi. Now, when he sees Naaman, he sees Naaman trying to give his preacher something, and his preacher wouldn't take it, and Gehazi says, Well, I'll take it. I ain't got nothing. I've been sweeping floors. I've been washing windows. I've been going getting the mail. I've been cooking supper. I've been running bath water for the man of God. I've been studying by candlelight. And preacher, if you don't want it, I'll take it. I want to say something this morning. That the devil's offered your preacher, you better put in your heart and your mind, you won't take it neither. Amen. This world will offer you a lot of things. And so this gaze of Gehazi, his gaze distracted him. There's so many people distracted with a gaze. Has it never dawned on you that we're going to leave everything in this world that we've got and we're going to meet God individually? Don't be distracted by the gaze of this world. There's nothing wrong with having things. Just don't get in life where things have you.
So the gaze of Gehazi, his gaze distracted him. Secondly, his gaze disillusioned him. The devil can paint a pretty picture, can't he?
Matter of fact, he showed Gehazi if he would take all of these gifts, boy, he could have it all. The devil will show you a lot of stuff that's shining, but it's not gold. Boy, I remember I got into several things in life and hobbies, and I thought, boy, if I could just get a hold of that, I'd have it. And come to find out, there was a money pit. They about broke me. Amen. Like you ladies thought, if you could just get that new pocketbook, man, that'd be fine. Now it's in the back of the closet going in the yard sale next year. If y'all want to buy some really nice pocketbooks, keep, go to Marketplace on Facebook. Amen. So, the gaze of Gehazi, his gaze distracted him. His gaze disillusioned him. And I want to say thirdly, his gaze disconnected him. If you're not careful, your gaze will disconnect you from this old world. How many people took a glance at something was going good for God, and all of a sudden, not only their gaze disillusioned them, but it disconnected them. I don't want to be disconnected from the things of God. We've got a precious church family. A place where the Spirit of God moves and ministers. We got some of the greatest people in this country under this roof this morning. But let me be the right kind of man of God to you to warn you. Don't be disillusioned by a glance and don't get disconnected by that glance. There's nothing better than the family of God. Nothing. And so this gaze of Gehazi. Now, look thirdly, not only the glimpse of Gehazi, he was a valuable servant, he was versed in scriptures. Not only the gaze of Gehazi, it distracted him, disconnected him, but look at the greed of Gehazi. The greed of Gehazi. You see, well, preacher, I don't have no problem with covetousness. Let me read it again. Covetousness. It's excessive desire for what one does not have, especially that of what belongs to somebody else. So here, this greed of Gehazi, there's the possibility of greed. That possibility is in all of us this morning because we're human. We're not bulletproof. Matter of fact, there are four areas in life where greed could take over. First of all, the greed for money. The greed for money. You know something? The Bible simply says this, 1 Timothy chapter number 6 and verse number 10, and how true this is, for the love of money is the root of all evil. If you want to know who people are, you get into it about their money. Some of the greatest families in our country have been destroyed on the deathbeds about money. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, there's our word, they've erred from the faith, and watch this, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You see, you be master of your money and don't let money be your master. You be the master of your money. You tell your money where it goes and what it does. Don't let your money tell you what to do and where to go. You see the greed of Gehazi, the possibility of greed for money, then the possibility of greed for things. Things that I don't need. It's so easy to get covetous about things. And then, not only is there the likelihoods or the possibilities to be greedy or covetous about money or things, but even for fame. A lot of people, they're just wanting a big name.
same. And then there's the possibility not only for money, things, and fame, but the greed of pleasure. That satisfies the flesh. That feels good, do it. You know something? We better be careful that covetousness that is in us and that old man of sin, we better be careful that we keep it in boundaries. So the greed of Gehazi, there's the possibility of greed, but I want to show you this Bible truth in verse 21. Here's the progression of greed. Look what he does now back in our text in 2 Kings 5, verse 21. Here it is. The progression of greed. So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, "Is all well?" You see, not only the possibility of greed, but the progression of greed. We find him following after it. Now we find him running after it. We find him following after it. And now Naaman turns around and he's running after it. Be careful what you take slow steps after. Before long, you'll be running after it. And so there's the possibility of this greed. There's a progression of this greed. But look in verse 21. There's the providence in greed. Providence in greed. Look at verse 21. Have you ever noticed this, how good God is to us? When we start playing with sin, that God will always give you a word of instruction or direction or correction. Look what he does in this providence. So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, "Is all well?" Right then, Gehazi could have saved his life, his family, and his ministry if he would have fell to his face and said, "No, it's not all well." Let me tell you why it's not well. Because he's fixing to tell a lie about the man of God. His man of God would not take it. But now he's purposed in his heart, he's going to take it and run with it, and all the things he's going to do and accomplish with it. But God is so good in his providence, he let a man that just got saved cry out to him, "Is all well?" Does you good to take an inventory. Is all well today? Down in your heart, is all well? Down at your house, is it all well? He should have disconnected and thought and said, "God's helping me before I crash." I've noticed every train wreck in life I've ever had, God's given me a warning, but I didn't heed the warning. Do you hear the man of God this morning? A lot of times you may think that it's so cruel. Sometimes it'll come from a child. It'll come from a neighbor. It'll come from a boss. It'll come from a brother and a sister. It'll come from a preacher. But God is faithful in giving you a word before you crash. Is all well? Verse 22, and he said, "All is well." Now look what his wife says. I'm done. "My master has sent me, saying, 'Behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim 2 young men, the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and 2 changes of garments.'" And Naaman said, "Be content, take 2 talents." Naaman said, "Wonderful." You see, I want to give you this little thought right here, what Gehazi said to him in verse number 20. Look what he says. "But as the Lord liveth," he brought up religion to a young convert. And I've noticed, Brother Kevin, so many young converts are so confused and they're so misdirected by people that have the wrong heart. He just got saved. And you know what Naaman thought? Anybody connected to religion ought to be good. "Well, you've been running with Elisha." Can I tell you, folks know who we are, where we're going to church, and they expect great things out of us.
You don't hear that preached no more. Just live like the devil. But let me tell you something. We have a testimony that we have to keep in check. Are we perfect? No. But Christ is. Do we make mistakes? Yes, we do. But it's up to us to repent of our sins and our mistakes.
Now, watch your Bible. He's in the name of religion. Even the big TV boys, they've got on this in a big way in the name of religion. And it's hurt the local churches that's trying to do right for God and missions. In the name of religion, they'll say, well, I tell you what, you call our prayer line, we'll give you 3 extra prayers this week for $19.95. See, that's just not started today. That's been going a long time. Do you see what your man of God's saying this morning? This thing of Gehazi. Now, notice in verse 22 these lies he told. He told 4 lies. I notice this. Sin is not without company. Sin is never by itself. Sin don't walk by itself. When you tell a lie, you got to tell another lie to keep that one propped up. Look what he says. He said, yeah, all is well. My master has sent me, saying, behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim 2 young men, the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and 2 changes of garments. You know what he just said? He told 4 lies. First of all, he said, my master sent me. Look at verse 22. And then he put something else on it. My master sent me, saying. And then, in verse 22, he says, there's 2 young men that are needing your money, that are going to school to make a profit. And then the 4th lie, in verse 25, this is what happens now. Naaman gets saved. He's loaded. He turns to Elisha, the old man of God, and he says, take all these riches. Elisha said, nope, I'm not taking them. He said, you're not going to have me under your thumb. You're not going to have me in your pocket. But Gehazi, the servant, in the backdrop of the thing, he hears it and he sees it. And the devil destroys his life by just a gaze. He said, I want that. I'm going after that. I'm going after it. And so he gets these goods, and the Bible says he goes and he stops at the tower. That's a high place. He's going up to a place where he's afraid that Elisha will see him. And he tells him, servants, unload right here. Let me put it in here and hide it. So he walked into the man of God, and Elisha, you know what he said to Gehazi? He said, where'd you go?
Gehazi said, I went not whither, no place. That's the 4th lie he said. And the man of God said this, and don't you never forget this preacher told you this. He said, when you went out, my heart went with you. And can I tell you, when families are knocked out in this world, when families are disconnected out of this place, it affects your preacher's heart. And it affects others' heart. This ain't a dog and a pony show. This is church. This is the family of God. Where Christ died on the cross. And we're going to heaven together. And we got a generation that needs to be saved.
Brother Larry, won't you come this morning and play me